Hi, and welcome to the FDI podcast. On today's show, we'll be discussing foreign direct investment in the medical cannabis industry. To do this, I'm joined by John Paul Doran, CEO and founder of Eco Equity and JPD Capital. Thank you for joining us, John.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Could you just introduce yourself and the company?
Yeah, no problem. As you've mentioned, John Paul Doran, CEO and founder of Eco Equity, which is a pharmaceutical company. Eco Equity, we have our flagship operation in Zimbabwe. I was actually born in Zimbabwe, interestingly enough. My accent has evolved somewhat. I came to the UK when I was six, and we've made some, you know, terrific progress over the course of the last 12 months and gained a good amount of traction. We've broken ground and we've got a fantastic state-of-the-art facility being constructed, led by a managing director on the ground, which is my brother Tommy Doran. The model for Eco Equity Zimbabwe is to produce pharmaceutical grade medicinal cannabis and to export into the EU. Predominantly Germany, which is where a lot of our offtake agreements are centred. But we really do have, you know, the belief that medicinal cannabis as an alternative form of medicine has the ability to transform millions of lives. And if we can play a small part in that and bring to market quality, consistency, and affordability, that'd be fantastic, you know.
So Eco Equity, that was 2 years ago it was founded, and then yep. JPD Capital. And by the way, Eco Equity, for our listeners, they've invested in Zimbabwe and Antigua.
Yes.
So, and there's currently a third investment somewhere in the Caribbean. That remains to be seen where.
Yes.
But what's JPD Capital, just very briefly?
The model in Antigua is slightly different, of course, with Zimbabwe being B2B, export orientated. Antigua, we're, you know, more vertically integrated B2C, looking to sort of clone the American model of medicinal dispensaries.
Right.
And there's a huge market on island, and also they've got a fantastic tourism trade. Two different models, and you know, having more than one managed operation, we wanted to develop a mechanism where investors could invest safely, securely, and have the option to, you know, spread risk either by investing in, you know, one or multiple projects. And, you know, that's how JPD Capital, the ideology was born. And JPD Capital, just to give you a brief explanation, is a protected cell company that's based in Guernsey. Cell one, of course, is Zimbabwe. Cell two, Antigua. Cell three, we're just about to announce, which I'm very, very excited by. And that'll be another position in the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. And we're also looking at strategic acquisitions where we see value across the supply chain. We won't be far off again. For us, it's, you know, not investing frivolously or recklessly. It's trying to understand where we can add value for our investors and also for JPD Capital.
And without giving away trade secrets as well, can you describe your USP? What makes you maybe different from other European or global,
of course,
medical cannabis companies?
Certainly in Zimbabwe, it's cost of production. We've definitely got an advantage over, you know, cultivators, medicinal cannabis producers, specifically in North America, Europe. We can produce the same quality, if not better. Our head of cultivation is a spectacular young man. Various events that we've been at globally. I don't mind saying that he's had a number of offers to jump ship, but again, as I've mentioned, loyalty is a big thing for us, and we, you know, it's very much a family environment. So consistent quality at an unbeatable price. I think the only other region that, you know, is comparable in terms of cost of production is South America, Colombia. But for us, you know, it was an easy move moving into Zimbabwe, where you've seen other companies perhaps struggle, we've got an intimate knowledge of the terrain.
You were one of around 65 greenfield foreign direct investments last year, globally speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Last year saw record high greenfield FDI into the global medical cannabis industry
mm-hmm.
and recreational cannabis industry,
yep.
all on the legal side.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen pretty much double-digit growth, or rather, growth has doubled for about three years now in terms of greenfield FDI,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting because last year we saw cannabis stocks take a really quite a significant dip in the second half of the year.
Correct.
And then we saw mergers and acquisitions kind of falter and plateau to
mm-hmm.
a kind of dip, basically. So why are greenfield investors such as yourself soaring ahead while other parts of the industry seem to be slowing down?
I think if you look at companies who formulated their business model on an early listing, I don't think there was enough substance behind a lot of companies that have listed. You've got young companies, you know, trying to run before they can walk, and also getting caught up in what's ultimately being depicted as the green rush, looking for opportunities further afield from their own managed operations. Specifically, if we take you know, the Canadian market or the US market, for example. The biggest market in terms of, exports is Europe, Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And for American companies to export effectively into Europe, they have to acquire GMP accreditation. So that's good manufacturing practice accreditation. So it's, you know, capital intensive to, you know, completely reverse engineer a model that was working for you internally to effectively export, which puts a burden on your balance sheet. Also looking at, you know, operations further afield, snapping up greenfield sites where they see value, looking at, you know, the CapEx and the OpEx. You know, it's difficult to manage more than one operation when you're already a listed entity. You know, you're putting a hell of a strain on your market cap, and I would suggest that a lot of the acquisitions that were made last year were a market cap inflation exercise. Whether or not they were actually going to put shovel in the ground, that remains to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
Now what we're actually seeing is companies reversing out of those decisions because of the risk, because of legislation in various countries, and it is difficult to navigate. So that's why I think you've seen, you know, pullback in you know, the stock markets, and why cannabis stocks haven't performed as well as, you know, they once were.
Do you see them picking up next year?
Yeah.
Or do you see greenfield investments slowing down this year and following stocks and M&A?
I think looking at us specifically, we have a very, very good business model. We've been approached by a number of entities to look at working on a consultancy basis, in fact, how we can identify and how we can lead them to execution stages we've, you know, successfully done. I think there will be investment in low-cost producing regions.
Mm-hmm.
Other African countries will legalize.
Colombia's really taking off.
Colombia. Yeah. I was just about to move into South America. And for me, you know, I've never done business in, you know, South America, so I was a little bit reluctant.
Right.
Africa, you know, it's bread and butter for us.
Right. That's your model. Go where you know.
Exactly right. You know, and then, you know, you've got a clear understanding of your path. You know, instead of, you know, having to learn on the job in a country that you're unfamiliar with, for me that represents too much risk for my investors.
Mm-hmm.
If I feel safe and secure, I'm prepared to put my investors' capital into an opportunity. If at any stage, you know, I feel that, you know, the risk is too much and we're unable to mitigate it, then, you know, we won't execute.
Okay, so it's this diligence and that kind of mindset that is working for you.
Yes.
When so many other companies are just falling to their knees, they're burning
mm-hmm.
out. I mean, what's the fail rate? I mean, speak maybe within the UK European market. Are you seeing people drop left and right?
80%.
That's huge.
80%. And I think I'm looking forward to the next 2 years because the cream will rise to the top, certainly will be part of that. And
mm-hmm.
I think, you know, everybody has tried to jump on the bandwagon without too much, you know, knowledge on the sector. People have, you know, fantastic ideas, but no way of, you know, actually delivering. Which I think over the next 18 months, 2 years, what you will see is the clamour to move into the sector slow down somewhat. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, specifically in the UK, what has been very, very difficult for young companies is banking.
Mm-hmm. And that's really a global problem, which mm-hmm. which is almost ridiculous and unheard of in a multi-billion-dollar valued industry. So what that means is mainstream banks in the US do not bank the industry, and it has an impact across the world. Of course, it varies from country to country, and we can talk a little about maybe we could begin with what's the implication of the US not banking the sector, or are you sort of self-sufficient finding the right areas of Europe to find your banking? How are you getting funding, and how are people getting funding?
It's a very good question. First and foremost, we're extremely fortunate with investor uptake in our initial project, which was Eco Equity. We raised just under 7 million, which, you know, in this climate, I challenge anybody to raise money for medicinal cannabis in Zimbabwe and see how you get on. So we've been extremely fortunate, and I think, again, that's because our investors have bought into our ethos, our ideology, and, you know, they share the same beliefs as us, which I'll always be grateful for. Secondly, we moved on to, of course, JPD Capital. Again, we are extremely fortunate, you know, and I don't take for granted the level of seed capital that we've managed to acquire over the course of the next 6 to 8 weeks. We will publish what level we're at, and I'm sure that's going to get a lot of tongues wagging, and I'll be excited to announce that.
So without the big banks coming in, you've had to basically develop
our own mechanism. Exactly right.
Would you ever consider IPO In the longer term?
Yeah, definitely. I think the core strategy for JPD Capital is to look at each cell on its merit. So cell one, of course, you've got Zimbabwe. Once we go the full 360 cycle and the business is fully cash flow positive, then we'll look at a stock market listing for Eco Equity. Mm-hmm. The same cell two, Antigua, cell three. Right. Essentially, JPD Capital is investing in unlisted managed operations, and we will take them public, which will show a hell of a lot of explosive growth for our investors, and also for the asset under management of JPD Capital and the net asset value. We've had to be, you know, extremely, you know, reactive in our approach to the banking restrictions, which is one of the reasons why we went to Guernsey to incept JPD Capital. Over the course of the last 6 weeks, we've been sitting with our corporate advisors and our legal team at looking at removing Eco Equity from the UK and moving to Switzerland.
Okay, wow. So what's the thinking behind that?
Again, banking. They're a lot more progressive. We've had, you know, some terrific conversations. I won't go into the specifics on who we're engaged with at present, but for us, we want stability. We want structure. Mm-hmm. And at the moment, we're not getting that from the UK. You know, we have done exceptionally well. And now it's time to move on and kick on to the next level. If you know, we are to get where my true belief tells us we should be, and that's one of the most dominant forces within the sector, we have to have a financial framework that can support that. And certainly we are hearing all the right noises from Switzerland, and if we were to make a move, you know, it's for the benefit of us in the long term. And by us, I mean, you know, internally the company and also our investors.
And you say, okay, Switzerland, they're not going to hold you back as the UK legal framework is currently. What framework is that? There really is none for us. Not really a framework in the UK.
Exactly.
Germany's far ahead of us as well. Why is the UK doing so bad? Is this another problem of Brexit? Holding us back and delaying all these exciting opportunities?
I think if you look at when medicinal cannabis was legalized in the UK, that was around about May 2018. During that time, decision makers in this country were, very much caught up with Brexit, and that's been the case for the last 18 months or so. I think the UK are trying to put in a regulatory framework which ultimately will benefit the consumer. I think if you look at your local petrol station, your local corner shop, news agents, everybody's selling CBD, and there isn't exactly
stockings,
right.
Everything.
But
you can't invest easily.
Exactly right. There's a huge grey area, and for us, that represents too much risk to our business model. We want to have security. We want people to invest safely, and we have an obligation as JPD Capital, as Eco Equity, to deliver on our promises. And certainly, Eco Equity, we've done just that thus far. We're extremely progressive in Zimbabwe, the most progressive entity. JPD Capital, we've got some fantastic ideas. We've just made our first investment into a UK-based entity, actually, which will be announced again very, very shortly. But again, very, very exciting. Extremely progressive individuals at the top of that company.
Before I come back to the kind of products and markets you're looking at in Europe, are you waiting with bated breath for the US market? So post-US elections, they're expecting, especially with the Democratic government, we're expecting some major changes in federal law, which will basically open the floodgates,
of course,
of mainstream banking.
Yes,
is that actually a scary prospect because there'll be huge amounts of competition coming up from that, or is that good for you?
It's fantastic for the sector as a whole. I'm not afraid of competition whatsoever. I think, if you look at America, everything's been done on a state-by-state basis at the moment, which is a little bit fractious. Of course, post-election, I think you'll see blanket legislation come through, which is fantastic. If you look at where we're positioning ourselves in terms geographically, we'll be expertly positioned to export into the US with countries that already have long-standing trade agreements with the US.
Yeah, so I mean, of course, most cannabis companies are still based in Canada, but we're seeing an increasing number go into the US in anticipation of this changing law.
Mm-hmm.
You've just hinted at the fact you want to be close to the US market. I mean, it's a huge market. It's the biggest market in the world.
Of course.
Where else do you see, especially greenfield foreign investments, so setting up either production or R&D facilities? Is it just these low-cost but high-quality locations like Zimbabwe, Colombia? Of course, I see that trend continuing, but is there anywhere else you'd like to highlight or have any other points on that topic?
I think once people have a full understanding of exactly what it is to produce medicinal cannabis in terms of from the agricultural side, having your GAP, good agricultural practice accreditation attributed to yourself, and then from a processing standpoint, having your GMP, EU GMP specifically. So EU GMP is depicted as the benchmark, very closely followed, or indeed on a par with Australian GMP. So for me, it's a lot easier to gain EU GMP accreditation if your facility is constructed within the EU. So if you look at, countries like Portugal, where I believe, Tilray have entered, you look at Greece, Spain, countries with good climate, I think we'll see a lot of strong facilities in those regions, because certainly for us in Zimbabwe, we've got fantastic climate, which allows us to keep our cost of production low. We utilize natural sunlight during the day and, of course, artificial at night. But certainly regions within Europe that...
Where in Europe are the most exciting opportunities for you as a medicinal cannabis exporter, in at least within Europe? So where, because you're not providing the recreational market, which hasn't really caught up. So
yep.
So is it just CBD products? Are you targeting hospitals? What countries as well?
Yeah. So looking at our business model, again, at the moment, we're very much, you know, CBD orientated. But I think, you know, once we make a positive move in terms of looking at where we're definitively going to establish our business operations, again, I've mentioned Switzerland. Mm-hmm. I think the direction, you know, for us will evidently be medicinal grade THC flower. And then looking to fully vertically integrate, adding extraction once we're cash flow positive. And certainly I'm excited by the potential of, you know, Spain, Greece and Portugal specifically, but also the Netherlands, where we're working very, very closely with the Dutch greenhouse company.
Okay. And in terms of EU regulation, is there anything we're waiting on here in the same way that we're waiting for the states to liberalise their federal law on cannabis? What are we waiting for with bated breath here in terms of EU regulation or other countrywide regulation?
Well, I think for us, we're not so much waiting on regulation. We have a clean and concise understanding of what works for us. As an entity, we know we can effectively export from Zimbabwe into select places in the EU that we've highlighted.
Where exactly, other than Germany?
Germany, Switzerland, mm-hmm. Are our core regions where the majority of our offtake is centred. Mm-hmm.
When do you think UK would be added to that list? Because there is a big demand here in France as well, many parts of the EU.
Well, again, looking at... legislation in the UK, we believe that we can execute a lot quicker in the regions that we've highlighted.
Right.
Certainly, that's not to say that we won't be executing in the UK. It's just for our business model and the stage we're at as an entity, mm-hmm. we haven't got time to wait for policy and procedure to come into place to allow us to effectively execute.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, John Paul.
And
thank you. Thanks for listening. This has been the FDI podcast. Do check out FDI Intelligence for more content, whether that's video, podcasts, or our written articles. Thank you.
Bye. Thanks.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.